He was young, smart, and likable. He was described by his friends as fearless, and he stood up against those who tried to bring his organization into disrepute through corrupt dealings. He was not afraid to call a spade a spade, and he was described as a real comrade who made sure the demands of the community were met. But 3 weeks ago, Wandile Ngubeni was shot dead at point-blank range as he was drinking with friends. The 28-year-old had a bright future ahead of him. He was the deputy regional chairperson in Madadeni in Newcastle, an ANC member. Another local politician, as he dropped off a lady, the suspects appeared, they opened fire, shot a number of times in the upper body, and he died seated in the car. On July the 2nd, Thembi Mbango, an ANC member, was shot dead in front of her husband and children. The killers came to her house and they asked to speak to her, and when she appeared, they opened fire. Alson Ngosi, an IFP counselor, was shot on the way home. Tsietse Motibe from the EFF was also shot. If you take a place like Gleblands in KZN, around 40 deaths since the beginning of last year, where 80 people have been killed since March 2014, most of them linked to internal conflicts within the party. Joining us on the line now is an independent researcher at the Violence Monitor, Mary De Haas. What's going on with these political killings, Mary?
Good evening, everyone. It's very difficult to fathom. It's a mixture of there's corruption involved. And, of course, remember that because people who are politically connected get killed, it may not necessarily be a political motive. In a few cases, it points to maybe interpersonal relationships, but most of the cases since the beginning of last year tend to be linked to political dynamics of one sort or another. And the there are two factors in this province in particular. One is, of course, the fact that the province is deeply divided between two factions within the ANC, and it is, of course, it is supposedly the biggest support base for the ANC in this province, and it is also the biggest support base for Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's candidacy as president of the ANC. And of course, there's an opposing so-called faction, which is linked to Cyril Ramaphosa. Now, there's those, so people are divided, and I mean, you take eThekwini, that's about the biggest ANC region in the country. So it's a very important region to struggle over. There's a lot at stake. So there are those factions with people who are in political office or maybe in councillors who may fall into one or other faction. But it goes beyond that, because a number of these killings are linked to people taking an anti-corruption stand. For example, refusing to be party to some dubious deal done by a municipality. There's evidence that shows that in some cases. Now, it's very often difficult to separate out the two, and even people close to the victims themselves do not necessarily know exactly what's driving it. But I mean, the allegations about police collusion, for example. But the fact of the matter is that hardly there have been very few arrests. Mary, and Cleveland's no convictions.
Mary, I have to come to you and say, I mean, obviously a lot of these things, as you say, are happening at local government and perhaps in some cases at provincial level. And whilst most of the killings have been of ANC members, as I mentioned in my intro, other parties have been affected too. And ultimately, the perception is that these positions are really seen as gold, are they not?
Oh, local government, yeah, there were at least, before the elections last year, there were at least three IFP and three NFP people killed. There have also been, I mean, there have been incidents involving, for example, ANC and IFP, you know, threats, intimidation, but not nearly what they were in the past. And there's been quite a bit of conflict between the NFP and the IFP since it broke away. So I'm not ruling out the fact that there are also inter-party dynamics in specific areas particularly. But if you look at the recent killings in the southern part of KZN or Pietermaritzburg, those are largely ANC areas, for example.
How is it being
there's a lot at stake, even locally.
Mm. How is it being dealt with?
Well, the problem is it's not. I mean, there's at the moment, there's, when I say it's not, it's there's very few arrests. I mean, there hasn't been a single conviction in Gleeblands in over, what is it now, in 4 years. There's been some arrests for some of the cases. One of the shootings that happened a few weeks back, and some of the killings last year, there's been in two or three cases arrests. There's one case in court that I know of at the moment. But, I mean, these cases, there's very few arrests that come to court, put it that way. And we're waiting for conviction. So the blame lies with police intelligence, police detective services. But people don't, the other problem is that people don't necessarily trust the police. A lot of people are too scared to talk on their phones about things. They think their phones aren't safe. But, I mean, it's the job of the police to deal with this, and they haven't been dealing with it. Just so, talking about some recent instances, somebody says, well, you know, this guy that we think is responsible has close links with the police.
What does it mean for our young democracy, particularly if we are beginning to now understand that that officials are almost dying to be elected?
Yeah, no, it's very bad. It's very bad. Every life that's lost is very bad in violence like this. And it's, as I said, the position, the thing at the moment is certainly, this has been going on for some years now, these struggles, especially over local government positions, because those are the positions that are particularly linked to procurement, irregular procurement, kickbacks, etc., tenders. People go in for local government. A lot of people go in to stand as local government because they want to get their hands on the money. So there's a huge amount of corruption, but you also have people standing up against that. So it's sending out a bad message, because it also sends out a message that if you stand up against corruption, you may get targeted. I mean, right now in Richmond, there are people who are terrified of getting taken out. So it's a bad message. It doesn't stop people standing for politics, but it certainly is. I mean, the worst of it, as I said to you, is the fact that hardly anyone gets caught, so they get away with it. And when they get caught, it may just be hitmen. And that doesn't necessarily lead to the people who are behind it.
And in some ways, it does say something about how, as you say, that most of these killings are around issues of procurement or corruption in some way, whether people are pursuing it or opposing it. Perhaps it does say something about how decisions are structured in terms of our three-tier of government system.
I can tell you through a very close involvement in a case that's been going on for almost 2 years, where a couple of brave ANC people, one of whom was the speaker in the municipality and lost his job because of it, saw that millions were being siphoned out into hugely irregular procurement, including private security companies linked to the people concerned. They have battled for almost 2 years, and they've got a wad of evidence, convincing evidence. They've battled for a couple of years, and they've taken it everywhere. They've taken it nationally. They've taken it to the presidency. They've taken it to everybody. Hawks, this lot of anti-corruption police, they finally got some investigations going, only because of perseverance. They're both under threat of death because they've done it.
And so many of these young councillors, young politicians who had bright futures ahead of them, who were doing very important work serving their communities, their lives have been snuffed out. But in the build-up to the ANC's elective Congress in December, are we likely to see more escalations of this kind of thing?
Oh, look, we may do. The situation in this province is extremely fluid. As I said to you, there's a lot at stake. And what is happening at the moment is that you probably heard that there was a decision to do an audit of membership. They've started in this province, and I think they've already unearthed some ghost members. Now, this is going to impact on the number of people being sent off to the electoral conference, so there may be more dynamics about that. I mean, quite frankly, none of us know. All we know is that there's some very unscrupulous people out there, that there's a lot of fighting over who gets to get to represent the party at the conference, for example, the factors that are linked to that, plus the existing local government position. So one actually doesn't know, given that mix, particularly in the lead up to the elective conference next at the end of the year. I mean, we've also got the court case between the two factions back in court next month. But look, the general feeling is this will probably end up being postponed or appealed or something. So, you know, the ANC is not keen to wash its dirty laundry in public at the moment. But there's that factor. I mean, some of those people that brought the action are allegedly in hiding. So, I mean, what is totally unacceptable is that in a democracy, people should not be killing for politics.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why we've got the three tiers of government.
Absolutely. Mary de Haas, we may not know, but we should certainly all be concerned.